Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
But today we're starting a new series called Reset. So can everyone say Reset? It was amazing. On Friday night, we were hearing Banning Liebschner is his name, and he was preaching, and he preached part of my notes that I'd already written for this morning here. And so I loved that because that just means it's on God's heart, and we're kind of tuning into what God is saying right now. But God is resetting, right? It's what I said just a minute ago. I don't want the same September mindsets that I had last year. I don't want the same September relationships. I'm not saying I need to throw my relationships out. I'm just saying I need a reset, right? I need God to reset my heart, my thoughts, my perspectives, and my spirit in Him. Amen? So that's what we're going to be unpacking this month. We'll get, as always, we get really practical here, but we always like to say Jesus is supernatural and practical, right? And so it's in both of those that our lives are transformed. All right, my most important part. Here's this joke's a little awkward, so I'm gonna tell you it's a joke, because otherwise you'll just stare at me. It's okay, password. I'm insecure too. I like that. A scammer called my grandma and said he had all her passwords. She got a pen and paper and said, "Thank God, what are they?" Anybody need that call? All right, don't be offended by this next one. I say it as a female. My wife takes her makeup off at night. I like to call it factory reset. I said it. My husband didn't, so we're okay. If this is your first time here, we love inviting people to forget dead religion, experience God, and thrive in Jesus. That is our mission statement, and we unpack that more at our welcome party, but it's all about inviting people. And so the last few months, I just want to catch you up real quick. We talked about loving where you live, right? Love where you live. And I hope that as this summer has unfolded, that you have gotten a new love for our area. But we also talked about how God loves where He lives in you. Sometimes that's hard to believe, right? We talked about renewing our minds in Christ and what that looks like, having the thoughts of Jesus, right? And then last month, we talked about building core strength, which if you're wondering why there are weights still on here, it's because I can't lift them. I do not have the core strength, and my husband did not move them, right? So they're there till after service today. But that's left over from last month as we were building core strength. How many of you... you don't need to raise your hand. This is a rhetorical question. But just personally speaking, I know I needed core strength last month. We pray through message series and we do them together. But I was shocked by the amount of core strength that I actually needed to navigate last month. And so every message was like a lifeline, right? And so I hope that you experienced that as well. And we heard testimonies last week of that being true. So this month, we're in a time of transition seasonally, and I wrote that in my notes, not knowing it'd be like in the 40s today, so that transition has begun, right? But wouldn't it be great if life just had like a reset button? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Like, you know, you're going through your day, and you say something to your spouse or your coworker or your kid, and you're like, can I just press the reset button, right? And today's tailgate Sunday, and I'm not a football fan. Please don't leave the church. You know, we have a lot of us that are. Caleb and Brian were actually coaching me in how this works with football. But apparently, at a point in the game, and again, please forgive me, we can talk after and reconcile, all right? But at a point in the game, it's like the game is over, and then someone with authority can walk on the field and they can reset the clock. Right? And I guess there can be like a penalty or someone did something wrong. And then the person with authority comes out and resets the clock. And they're like, no, the game isn't actually over. And so if you get one thing from today's message and even from this entire month, but especially today, I want you to know that the game is not over. The game is not over. And everything in our world right now is kind of screaming that the game is over. I don't care how you're seeing anything that's happening in our world, but you can't hide from it. But I want you, and I want to invite you to have more faith in the power of God that can reset the clock. In fact, if God hadn't reset the clock in my life, I would definitely not be here as a pastor. I know Pastor Caleb, he would definitely not be here. And I can attest to, I mean, if you're here without God resetting the clock, you probably need your clock reset today, right? And because we have no business being here without Jesus resetting the clock, and the game is not over. And some of us heard that the message series was going to be called Reset, and we thought, oh, like it's one more thing I got to do. But how many know that if you could reset the area of your life, just like Judith had up here, if you could reset that in your own strength, you already would have. Right? We need a Holy Spirit reset. Amen? All right, I'm getting ahead, but that's the, we can all go home now, but the kids, they're having fun. It's a science theme out here from what I hear, so I don't know what they're doing, but they'll have fun. Natalie is amazing with the children, and we are in the process of upgrading that whole room as well for the kids department, so stay tuned for that as we're growing. All right, so how many know that you can be super strong, but if you aren't doing a good thing and you're strong, we call that stubborn, right? This hit me. We did an entire month on core strength, and then I realized I can have a lot of core strength in the wrong position, and that is the most unhelpful thing on the planet. Have you ever been with a stubborn three-year-old? It's like, it is over, right? And you don't be like, oh, wow, look at all your core strength. If you're a great parent, maybe you are. You found a way to affirm them in the moment, right? But most of us are like, ah, right? And if we're really honest, a lot of us have a lot of strength, but sometimes it's in the wrong place. And that's called being stubborn or stuck, right? God doesn't want to strengthen you to be stuck. He wants to strengthen you to thrive. Right? That word thrive, among other things, means to grow and mature. Amen? But that takes teachability and a desire to reset. So my first question to you this morning is, do you want to reset? What area in your life, again, we had that great visual up here, what area in your life feels stuck? Do you realize, if you're really to admit it, that you're actually just digging your heels in and being a little stubborn there? Right? What area is coming to mind? Relationships, family, resources, work, health, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, right? The definition of reset, there are a couple definitions. One is to set again. One is to set back the odometer in an auto vehicle to a lower reading. How many want to have a lower reading going into this fall, right? Caleb said that's illegal, so I guess that is, don't reset your actual car. I did not say that, right? But I'm talking spiritually here, all right? To restore. How many need some restoration? Amen? And to move something back to an original place or position. Just like that song ended with, I want you, Jesus, nothing else, right? And I was just reminded this week of the first time that I encountered Jesus. Can we all just take a moment? And if you haven't encountered Jesus, then I just invite you to encounter him right now for the first time. But just think, that moment when you realize that Jesus actually loves you. Like, he actually loves you. He actually saved you. Think about that moment. I know on our leadership team, one of the things I really value about our church is we have people from their 20s all the way through their late 70s, but we won't say who they are. Clearly it's me, right? On our leadership team. But we don't just have diversity in age, but we also have diversity in testimony, right? So we have everything from someone getting saved at like 3 years old to someone getting saved and getting set free of an addiction. We have someone on our leadership team who had an open vision of Jesus at a multi-religion service, right? So there's diversity in testimony. So I don't know what your testimony is, but I hope to find out. And we might do a little bit of that maybe even on Wednesday at Thrive at the Park, just as we talk and hang out. But Jesus wants to reset us back to our original love, our first love when we got born again. You following? So, of course, as we're talking about reset, we need to honor the first reset, the ultimate reset of salvation, right? And that word salvation I love because it's the Greek word sozo, and it means to heal, to deliver, to rescue, to make whole. And that is just the best gift that anybody can ever receive on earth. It says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." For Jesus came to find those who are lost. How many know that was you and I? Amen? But if I stayed the same person I was on my wedding day with Brian, our marriage would not have lasted long, right? If you've been married or maybe have a friend, you know that that is true, right? It's like your priorities shift, maybe even your diet shifts, right? I know I eat a lot more meat now. And I am not necessarily happy about that. So if I eat with you, feed me vegetables. Right? I used to have vegetables every day of my life until I got married. Now it's like it's like my dessert now. I'm like, what happened here? But how many know that when you get married, there's a transformation that happens? Or when you have a child, right? And it's an adjustment. It's learning. It's reprioritizing. It's resetting your life, right? It's repositioning. Life is meant to be made up of daily resets in God. Amen? Daily resets in God. I love this. In Lamentations 3:23, it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." I just want to unpack this for just 5 seconds because it's not where we're going to land, but it's so powerful. That word mercy also means compassion, but it's actually connected, get this, to the word for womb. And if you look at the commentaries and you study it, they connect it to compassion and mercy is like caring for the fetus, caring for the baby. Isn't that amazing? The support and the dependability and the sustenance that a baby has before it's born, that's what mercy and compassion looks like from the heart of God. Isn't that powerful? That's just a different way of thinking about it. That word faithfulness means also, it's translated also as stability or support. So there's an invitation to reset every single day in the support, in the care, in the stability of God every morning. Like a baby born before it's born, dependent on the mother to survive, is the level of support that you have in God every morning. How many actually receive and share that support? I guarantee our world would be such a better place. And you know what the worst thing is? I know as a church, I don't mean like our church, but I think, you know, we're probably included in this statement, but the church, I hate saying that because I've been all over the world, so the church looks so different everywhere, but Christians like to point their finger out for the problem, right? But how many know that one born-again believer resetting themselves in the mercy of God every morning could really transform the world? And I'm not talking about the whole globe. I just mean your world. And then your world bumps into your world, and I'm pretty certain we have like a whole world covered by born-again believers resetting themselves in God. And I encourage you, as the fall unfolds and as the temptation to point fingers everywhere, choose any direction and you can point, to instead point up. Because we're a church that magnifies Jesus. Amen? We're not magnifying anything else. We're magnifying Jesus. Amen? All right, so let's unpack our key verse. Our key verse is in Psalm 40, verse 2. And I actually invite you to memorize that. The little kids actually out there, they'll memorize scriptures sometimes. And us adults, we're like, well, we've graduated. We don't need to memorize scripture. But I encourage you, Psalm 40, verse 2, all right, is a great thing to memorize. And it says, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit." Can you just say pit? "Out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand." That word set is kind of like reset, right? That word reset means to be set, to reposition. So he's saying he took me out of the pit. He took me out of the prison. That's what that word also means. Also means cistern or well. He took me out of there, and he reset me on a firm foundation. How many need to be removed from some pits this fall. How many know the same pit that made you stumble last fall doesn't need to make you stumble this fall? Amen? And if it does, then Jesus is right there to rise up in you and to lift you up out of the pit and to reset your feet. Amen? All right, so let's go into our actual story here. All right, Holy Spirit resets. Some of us are here right now, and again, as I said earlier, that word reset just feels like one more thing you got to do. I was talking to, and I love our church because we have homeschoolers, we have private schoolers, we have public schoolers, we have, I don't know if there's anything else, if probably in our area, but I don't know what they, we're all learning. But anyway, I love the diversity in learning, right? And for those of you who don't know, I was homeschooled. My husband, I think he just did public and homeschool. I don't think he did private too. But anyway, we got a lot of diversity in education. And I was talking to one homeschool mom, and she was saying she was resetting her home for the school year, right? Even if you're not homeschooling, I'd like to go home and reset my home. I don't even have kids yet, right? Because there's this invitation as the season changes to say, you know what? Let's reset the space for some fresh perspective, right? And so how many know walking on water, peace beyond understanding, joy in the suffering, the dead raised? Those are some phenomenal resets, whether that's reset in nature, whether that's a supernatural. How many know death to life is the biggest reset, right? And only through the power of the Holy Spirit is that possible. So I want to invite you and I want to highlight that this is not a month to strive. This is a month to surrender and to activate and to invite Holy Spirit to be activated in who you are in a deeper and new way. Amen? But in order to be reset, we need to actually believe it's possible. And so I want to share a story that if you know us for a while, you probably were here in our church when even this happened. But about 3 years ago, a few years ago, we had a wedding, right, Brian and I. And our story is very unique in how we got married and all of that. But about 3 weeks before the wedding, Brian got an injury. And I will never forget, I woke up and went over to his place, and he was lying on the floor screaming in pain. He could not move. He had thrown his back completely out, and I guess he had, I think the technical term is 2 herniated discs. But I'll never forget loading him into the back of one of our parents' cars, I think, because our car didn't even have the room, so we had to borrow someone. He was lying flat on his back in the SUV, and I'm driving down the road. There's a little, drawbridge thing over near Cayuga Heights. Every time I go there, I, flash back to this, because I went over the bump, and if you have a 6'3" large guy screaming and wailing and, sobbing, you will never forget that sound. I'm driving literally 3 miles an hour trying to get him to the doctor because he can't move. We get to the doctor and it is extremely serious. They're like, we got to prep you for surgery. But if you have surgery, you're going to need multiple surgeries basically for the rest of your life because you're young. And so they send us to another surgeon. We go to a sports doctor, a surgeon. We're going all around and they're like, they prep him. Literally, they did all the work so that if it moved a tiny, tiny bit, if he lost any more feeling in his toes, we had to drive him to the ER right then. And it was like, don't wait, just go. And so the 2 weeks before our wedding were a bit of a nightmare. It was to the point where he was on some pretty heavy painkillers. He wasn't really present. And I was like, I'd like to marry a man who's present, right? I think we all would. Jesus. All right. And so it was to the point where I was like, what are we going to do, right? We're going to cancel the wedding. What are we going to do? And so it was, I guess, probably 1 week before the wedding at this point. And I got a hold of a chiropractor. And no, I'm not advertising chiropractic. I don't know what you think about it. But anyway, she's a professor that's a chiropractor. So I like professors who are chiropractors because that means they really know what they're doing. She was a nerve doctor, professor of chiropractic. Anyway, we go there. She's from Greece. She's got a thick Greek accent. She's beautiful. I love her. And Brian walks in. My dad took him because I was too traumatized. I was like, I'm never driving with you again. Brings him in. And she does a stretch on his leg. And apparently he screamed Jesus loves the whole world, right? He was still a pastor. But anyway, the point being, when he walked out of there, that chiropractor said, you need to get off the painkillers today. I'm going to tell you exactly how to do this. If you go one more day, you could be addicted. And no one else had actually been able to help him with that. She reset. We figured out that he had pulled a muscle chasing one of the kids here. He's such a great kids director that that's what had happened. And it had never healed properly, and it pulled his whole back out. And he was able to be reset. Can you just say reset? Some of us today have been told it's going to take surgeries. That area in your life, you're going to have surgeries until you die. What has happened, the damage that has been done in that area that has either happened to you or you did, whatever reason you find yourself, it is so deep that it's going to take years. And Jesus says, I can realign you. I can reset you in a moment. Amen? There is hope in Jesus. Now, did it mean Brian went out there and started chasing kids again? No, it took a couple years. Now he chases them carefully, right? But he had to do stretches, and he does all this. He does the whole thing physically now to maintain the breakthrough, right? How many have ever gotten a miracle from God, and you're like, wow, God, that was great, and then you just go right back? It's called being unrepentant, right? Getting a miracle doesn't mean that you don't need to repent, right? Getting a miracle is an invitation to steward the miracle. Amen? You get a miracle in how you see your spouse. It's not an invitation to go right back to the old pattern. It's an invitation to let God actually realign you. His mercy is new every morning. His reset is new every morning. And how you see that coworker, how you see your child, how you see yourself, whatever area it is, how you see your resources. Amen? All right, so let's go to our story just as we start to wrap up here. How many know in order to believe you can reset, you have to be able to catch a vision beyond what you see right now? If you've got pit vision, you're going to have a hard time getting reset. You might be able to get reset, but you have no idea what's happening. It's super bright, right? Have you ever been down in like a well? I mean, hopefully not. But if you have, I was in a cave in Ireland. This is the weirdest thing I've ever been in. I was on a mission trip there, and there was like this cave that's like from thousands of years ago. It's the spookiest thing. It was awful. But it's like in the hill. It was pitch black, and it was like these very ancient people did it. And man, when you come out of that cave, that pit, I'll call it a pit, you could not see. It was so bright. You had pit vision, right? You need to realign your sight. I want to invite you this fall to let God realign your sight. Things might be getting a little brighter, right? And you need to let God readjust. All right. So it says he lifted me out of the pit. Can we just say pit one more time? It actually means dungeon or cistern or prison. And it is the same word used in the story of Joseph. So Joseph is a story about a man who had more resets than my Mac that crashes. My gosh, this man, he just constantly had resets. And the Bible study this week, which I think we haven't mentioned yet, if you scan the QR code on the chair in front of you or you grab the Bible study on your way out at the hub, we're going to be unpacking the story of Joseph. And because of that, I'm not going to go deep into his story right now because we're going to do that every day this week. You can do it on your phone, do it as a family, do it by yourself. Do it with a coworker. All right, so do that on your own time. But the story of Joseph is about a man who knew his God and reset and positioned himself in his identity in God more than any other identity. It paints a vivid picture in family and relationships, right? He was betrayed by brothers. How about in health? He survived prison. This is not like the prison in America, all right? This is a totally different world. He let God reset his health in his dreams, literally, right? He had some dreams. And in his workplace, over and over again, he let God reposition himself, right? So Joseph was reset from favored to forgotten. Can you just say game over? All right. How about free to slave? Can you say game over? How about accused victim? All right, how about starving in prison? How about the land of exile? Some of you walked in and you're like, man, I got more game overs than Joseph. I'm just going to put that out there. All right, well, don't think of yourself as having more game overs until you really get into his life story, right? But I love it because there's a version of his story where he didn't reset himself in God. There's a version of your story where it is game over. I'm not preaching like heavy, okay? I know that was heavy. But there is a choice, right? It's a choice. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, man, it's the best choice you'll ever make. I'm not talking about earning it or striving, but there's a surrender. Amen? There is a version of Joseph's story where he didn't reset in God, where the game was over, where he stayed in that pit as a slave, where he stayed starving, where he stayed a victim, where he stayed in exile, even in death, right? There is a version, but instead Joseph chose to let God lift him up out of the pit and set him on the rock, set him on a foundation that was not defined by his past or even his present or even his future. Amen? God reset his clock. There's a version in my story where I gave up in my early 20s and I didn't continue in ministry. There is a version in my story with Brian where we didn't end up together, right? There is a version, and some of us have some pretty big versions where game was actually over. But God, can you just say, but God, resets the clock. Amen? I love this because Joseph had a thriving home in God in a pit. What? And in prison, and he still saw his city transformed. Isn't that amazing? Our vision is thriving homes transform cities. Even in a pit, he was thriving in God, and he still saw his city transformed. Some of us are in a pit right now, and we say, God, how could you ever use me? How could you ever use this story to see my area transformed by you? But Joseph, even in a pit, saw it. Amen? Proverbs 24:16, for though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. Being a born-again believer doesn't mean you won't fall or end up in pits, but it does mean you rise again. Amen? The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. You can rise again, not out of your own strength. We would have all been risen up already, but because of Holy Spirit in you. Amen? If you're a perfectionist like me, a pit can feel like the Grand Canyon. Anybody get in some pits and you're like, oh, it's over, right? Maybe you did something wrong. Maybe something happened to you or whatever it was. But the story of Joseph is so powerful because no matter why he was in the pit, God delivered him. You are worth a deliverance this morning. You are worth a deliverance this morning. Someone needs to hear that. You are worth a Jesus rescue. He was on that cross and he said, you are worth the deliverance, the healing, the wholeness. Don't get a big head. Just receive, surrender, and say, Jesus, you are worth my life. Right? That's the only response to that statement. Amen? All right. So we're just going to wrap up here. We're going to be unpacking different ways God can reset us. We're going to get practical. But I just want to close with just a couple little like one-liners here just to think about. See which one of these you need this week. All right? So one of the things that God did continually in resetting Joseph's expectations, who needs some expectations reset going into the fall? Anybody? Just me. Okay. It says in Genesis 50:20, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. This is Joseph speaking to his brothers, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. I love that. That word alive is actually similar to the word for salvation in the New Testament. It means recovered, repaired, restored, saved, revived. There comes a point as you mature in God and as you are hungry for him more than anything else where your expectation when you fall in a pit is, God, who are you going to revive because of this? Who are you going to restore because of this? I surrender my expectations to you. Does that make sense? The other thing is God enabled Joseph to reset because he was with him. It says in Genesis chapter 39, verses 2, 4, and 21, God was with Joseph, so. Can everyone say, I've got a so, right? I've got a so too. It says, God was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything as he served and was put in charge of Potiphar's household. So he was a favorite with the prison warden and was put in charge of everything. God was with him. It says in Genesis 41, verse 38, so Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? That word, Spirit of God, is the same word where it says God was hovering over the deep in creation. It's the same word where a little bit later in Exodus 31 is the first time it says God filled someone with the Spirit. But the first time we actually read that someone was filled was from Pharaoh recognizing it on Joseph as he was in a pit and as he had been through so much. There is a possibility that as you walk into this season, no matter what pit, no matter what situation God is resetting in your life, that the person that you think doesn't even see you, might even be the opposite from you, may even be like your enemy, is going to be the first person to say, you've got the Spirit of God on you. God is with you, and I want that. That is the fruit of a Holy Spirit reset. It's not self-serving. Amen? So I just invite you to stand on your feet here. If I'd been Joseph, I might have been filled with something very different in Genesis 41. How about bitterness, right? Pharaoh says, so obviously, is there anybody else so filled with bitterness? That would be justifiable. So filled with hatred. So filled with despair, so filled with discouragement, so filled with disappointment in all of the land. But no, Pharaoh said, so filled with the Spirit of God. I want to invite you right now to just let Holy Spirit rest on you. The last thing is that Joseph knew his ultimate reset would happen after death. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. He got taken to the promised land. He knew the ultimate reset. I love it. Joseph knew. He was like, God, it's not enough that you deliver me from the pit. It's not enough you deliver me from being a victim. It's not enough you deliver me from accusation. It's not enough that you even restore my family. I'm going to be in the promised land. That's what my real desire is. I want eternity with you. Isn't that amazing? I love that because the ultimate reset is eternity with God, death to life. We can't just talk about that at funerals. That is the promise of God through relationship with Jesus. Amen. So right now, I just bless every person who feels like it's game over. And we like to be real in this church, but we also like to encounter a real God when we're real. And so God, right now, I thank you that you're even bringing to mind areas in our life where it feels like it's game over. And God, I thank you and I ask right now that the God of hope would fill you with encouragement. The God of hope would fill you with fresh vision, that pit vision and pit thoughts and pit attitudes would just be crumbled off of you at the foot of the cross today. There would be a freedom. And God, we thank you that you are a miracle working God, not just for our good, but for the good of those around us, for the generations we don't even see yet. You are resetting. So to every person that feels forgotten, to every person that feels enslaved, to every person that feels like a victim or is a victim, to every person that is starving or trapped, to every person that feels like you're in a land of exile, today I bless you to be lifted up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, I ask, Holy Spirit, right now that you would set our feet on a rock and you would give us a firm place to stand in Christ. Psalm 40, verse 2. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.